Jake Shepherd, Director at Synthesis, joining us. A very good morning, Jake. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. How are you? Yes, I'd imagine you are pretty swamped with messages, and I can't imagine that you can reply to each and every one of them.
Right, and the important thing is that it's not because a message doesn't agree with my narrative.
Exactly.
It might be, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. Anyway, so Jake, lots of, this time has been such an important one, such an interesting one, such a challenging one. It's been hard, it's been rewarding, it's been powerful, it's been everything. But often what's born out of it is people making resolutions or deciding that now's the time to do what they've always wanted to do. But it's not so simple, yeah. Is it?
Look, it's not simple, but I've noticed it in the community and among friends and family that people reaching out to me and asking for advice, how they should go about starting their own business, or if they've got an existing business, like what advice do I have for them and how to take it to the next level? And what I noticed when I was actually talking to the people is that there were a number of common themes that kept on recurring. And it might be actually useful just to look at some of those common aspects of advice. And I want to start off with a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is what works for me doesn't necessarily work for you. And I think the reason for that is because I actually don't always know what works for me. And you actually see it when people write these books. They look at all these businesses that have done well, and they've seen what are the common elements behind the success of the business, and they have a whole book on it. Some of the common elements which I think are the most profound, the most impactful, are things like luck, and effectively things like maybe the people were just in a very privileged position, not necessarily that they were wealthy, but that they actually had a great support structure, they had mentors, they had parents who were very involved with them. And those are things that you can't reproduce very easily. Mm, so that's one disclaimer I'd like to put in. And then I had a similar discussion with one of my cousins, and he was asking me for my advice. And I said to him, listen, yes, he's my first cousin, but there's like a 20-year age gap. Grew up in a different country, is living in a different country to me. I don't know how relevant my experience and my history is for him.
Right.
And he acknowledged that, but he said it might be a case of me undervaluing what I already know and him overvaluing what he didn't know. But let's have the discussion anyway.
Yeah, that is such an interesting comment. All right, so let's have the discussion. Somebody wants to start their own business. Is there generic advice?
Well, I think there is generic advice, and I think some of the most profound advice, actually, I saw Jeff Bezos before he started Amazon. He was faced with this whole concept of should he leave a well-paying job and start Amazon, sell books on the internet, is the way you put it. And in order to make that decision, he actually came up with what he called the regret minimization framework. And regret's an interesting thing because it changes as we age. And if you ask young people what they regret, they'll tell you, listen, I did something that like embarrassed me and I really regret having done that. But if you ask the exact same question of somebody later on in life, they'll tell you that they regret all the missed opportunities that came across their path that they didn't grab. And that, I think, is what Jeff Bezos tapped into, is that latter form of regret. And just like I said, he wanted to pick himself forward to when he was 80 years old and say, okay, I'm looking back on my life and I want to minimize the number of regrets that I have. And I know that when I'm 80, I'm not going to regret having tried to start something like Amazon. I'm not going to regret trying to participate in the internet. And I know because it could be a really big thing. But if I failed, I wouldn't regret that having tried. And that is essentially what motivated Jeff Bezos. And maybe that's something that we can apply to ourselves. It's just do that regret minimization check.
Yes.
Like if there's an opportunity, how much will I regret it at the age of 80 looking back not having done it?
Which is quite hard to do. It is quite hard to do to project yourself forward in order to look back. It's not an easy exercise.
It's not an easy exercise, but it was the way that he came to terms with making a difficult decision. And it's not even to say that his decision was the right one. He's speaking from a point of view and perspective where he's pulled it off. But most people who make that same decision don't pull it off. So it's actually, it's not an easy decision. You know, it's one thing looking at all the successful people and saying, well, like, yeah, what can we learn from you? But you've also got to, you've got to realize that there's a whole swath of people out there who didn't make it, and maybe they would have had a different take on those sort of decisions. So again, it's not an easy decision. And then in terms of like what business do you go into? And I think we've spoken in the past in terms of people's talents and then working on them so that they become strengths. And I think that's really important, is to know what your talents are, what your strengths are, and to really work on them.
Right.
Because when you have tremendous strengths, you've got something to offer, something of value to offer to the world that people are going to want to pay you for. So that's the first thing. And then I would next suggest that you read and read a lot and become an expert in the field that you want to go into. You need to become, in order to become an expert, you're talking about 2 hours a day reading about that particular topic that you want to move into. Because no one wants to work with somebody who doesn't really know their field. So even before you launch a business, you're doing a lot of research and you really are becoming, maybe save for a few people who like the leaders in the field, you need to be the next level of the next tier of excellence. You need to go for that. And the reason is actually because, and then the other thing you need to become an expert is in your client's business. And certainly if you're in the services game, and I've seen it through, you know, through my career, is that, you know, so I'm writing software for people who don't necessarily understand software. They understand their business. And essentially what they're going to do is they're going to judge me in terms of my competence in software. They're going to substitute, because they can't answer that question, but they're going to substitute with a different question, which is, how much of an expert are they in my business? And if I don't know their business almost as well as they do, they're going to think I don't understand software. And it's an interesting psychological
aspect. That is. We do make that assumption.
And so you need to then become an expert in your client's business as well. You need to be able to go in and speak to your clients about their business in a way that convinces them that you understand their business really well. And therefore, you obviously know what you're doing in your business. So that's also another – that's what I'm saying. So you really need to – become an expert in the field that you want to start a business up in. And then obviously, touching on what you've spoken about earlier, people having time for introspection, people being able to, you know, just get in touch with themselves a little bit more, it's aligning your whys. So I often recommend to people to – there's a – Jordan Peterson has a self-authoring suite of products you know, past authoring, present authoring, and future authoring. And essentially, that's really trying to get in touch with who you are, your past, like almost a biographical study of who you are.
Yes.
And then your present, like what are my strengths, what are my weaknesses, what can I work on? But then future authoring is what are my aspirational goals? What do I want to achieve with my life? And what is it that motivates me? And then obviously looking at the flip side of that, is if I make enough bad decisions, how badly can I mess up my life? And what does my personal hell look like? If with enough bad decisions. And if you've done that, you're getting in touch with your own personal motivations, your own personal whys. And then you need to align that. If you're thinking about going into a business, align that with the why of the business. Because that's going to motivate you tremendously. Because if what motivates you as a human being in terms of what you want to achieve with your life, and you align that with what you do to earn a living, I think then you're tapping into energy, you're tapping into strength, you're tapping into motivation that is almost second to none. And I remember in terms of the why of businesses, I watched I think it's like the second or third most famous. I watched TED Talk of all time, Simon Sinek, starting with why.
Yeah.
And basically, I realized, even for myself, I've been in business for, you know, at this time, about 18 years, 17 years, and I actually couldn't articulate a why of my business. And it became really powerful when you could start articulating it. But it took me a long time to articulate, so just don't think it's that easy. But really tapping into the why of your business and tapping into the why
is one of the most difficult things, because the first, and whenever I've sat with people and tried to help them with the why, the first thing is, well, because I want to make money, because I want to feed my family. No, 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 yes. Let's try that again.
I think that is a why.
Of course, it is
to a large extent, but it's a secondary why in the sense that that doesn't motivate you. Making the money doesn't motivate you.
It's because this business. Not why do you need, you know, why do you need a job? We understand that. Why this business? What's the why around this?
It's a deeper motivational and wellspring of energy and motivation and strength. That's what you're trying to tap into. And money is very surface. I mean, it's not that wellspring. It's not that thing that it's not the thing that you feel is going to make your mark on the world. And it's where you can really contribute. And that's where the energy is. And, so it's really, for me, that is incredibly important. And just when you want to start your business, align that business with what you want to achieve in your life, your personal project for your life. And then I think you're setting yourself up for success.
I actually want to stop here and ask Zanati her thoughts on this.
Because, I love this.
Because this is so your, Zanati's been doing so much of this introspection. Jack, I hope you can hear her because sometimes when it's on this type of connection, you can't always hear Zanati, but let's give it a bash.
So it's great for me because, I mean, I treat myself as a business because I am a freelancer. So I think the one thing, you know, two things that stood out for me is, what, Jeff Bezos did, looked, you know, thought of how he, you know, at age 80, what regrets he would have and he kind of worked his way back. And also another thing that stood out for me was that on top of knowing your business, you need to know your client's business as well. So it's one thing to know the theory of your work, but you need to know, you know, the businesses of the people that you'll be dealing with. So I really, really think that's so beneficial to me. So I'm actually now Googling this Simon Sinek.
He's the guy that Howard Saxton was talking about on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually going to – there's a webinar with him on talking to South Africa. So it actually is worth hearing. And his books are definitely worth reading.
Yeah.
Did you read his latest one, Jack?
Yes. Is that The Infinite Game?
Yes. Oh, that's what you were talking about. In fact, you've quoted him to us before The Infinite Game, actually.
Sure. No, his books are great. He's a great thinker, great motivator. And I think you know, you can see his interaction with his staff.
Jack, how do you respond?
YouTube. That's quite amazing.
Yeah. How do you respond to the fear that people have around...
Sorry, how would you say it again? Yeah.
How do you respond to the fear around people... taking that leap, because it is very, very scary. And in fact, one of the theories that I have around South Africa is when we look at, you know, everyone says we're entrepreneurial in many ways, we lack that. And I believe that partly it's because we've got a large segment of our population who have come through very difficult times. And you might find that a person, and specifically in the black community, is one person might be the first person to have gone to university, got a job at a bank, is helping support a tremendous amount of people because of his job. For him or her to take the leap and leave a very structured, safe environment to go on his or her own is very, very difficult, and it comes with an enormous amount of responsibility.
Yeah, and I think that it's that responsibility of not just jumping onto starting your own business and effectively dreaming big is correct, and you must probably find in the majority of cases that is the sane decision to make. It's the decision that actually should be made in many cases. So effectively, the only time I would actually ever recommend to somebody to leave that sort of a secure job environment is if from their own internal yearnings to do something on their own. It's that regret minimization. If they're going to have a regret having lost this job, then maybe that regret minimization is to stay in the job. But if they're going to regret not having tried going out on their own because that's their dream, then that might sway it. So I certainly wouldn't actually recommend that starting your own business is for everybody. And I wouldn't recommend that in terms of your life circumstances, it's the correct thing to do, because you really need to shoulder that responsibility, and that means not always doing exactly what you want. It's doing what people need you to do.
But actually, what I've noticed,
so I definitely understand that.
I've actually noticed in the black community especially, leaving the job is actually not the first thing that people do. I went to a ladies' brunch a few months ago, it wasn't last year. And so many of these women are professionals. They have, you know, 9 to 5 jobs, but they actually have businesses on the side. And I was so impressed at how many of them are managing. Of course, it's difficult, but the fact that they are the breadwinners, and that, you know, a lot of them were the first people that went to university, but they still, because that passion is so strong, but they still know that they have responsibilities. The fact that their passion is so strong that they are able to have those businesses on the side. Of course, eventually they do plan on completely leaving their professional jobs.
Right.
But I'm just impressed and in awe of how a lot of them actually are able to manage those jobs on the side, those businesses.
The only
on the
thing
side.
About that, of course, is the, it depends on the organization that you work for.
Yeah.
So if it's, if they don't mind you, in inverted commas, moonlighting,
yeah,
then that's okay. Otherwise, I think it is. It's quite problematic,
yeah,
to do that, because I mean obviously that's your in your in theory your best thing to do is to build up something whilst you're in a position so that you can you can move on, but with relative safety, but of course there we have to be careful around the ethical component around that. Jake, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think also there was a practical considerations, like you know, let's. You're going to start your own business, put together a business plan, and actually try and clarify for yourself, if nobody else, what it is that you're going to offer, and will people actually respond to that or not. And I often tell people, listen, don't try and, like, if you've got an idea for an internet startup, don't try and build the entire thing and hire developers and like dip into capital that you can't necessarily replace without trying out the idea. Without seeing if the idea actually has traction, and doing maybe that idea in a very manual way. I remember in the early days, some of the banking systems with trading is what they do is they have this fancy website where you could trade stocks, and people would put their, you know, their bids in for the stock. And actually in the back end, it wasn't tied into the exchange automatically. In the back end, you had all these brokers retyping in whatever the clients typed
in. That's funny. So it looked,
it looked fancy, but actually but that was the correct approach. It was try and do things as almost as low cost and as manually as possible just to see if the idea is going to have legs. So I would recommend that to people. Then also just if you're going to start your own business, oftentimes you're going to need a very solid capital base, which means you need to have saved up for quite a long time just so that you can do it. Because, you know, you can start off like the venture capital approach where you raise funds and burn through it as quickly as possible. Very few people have that opportunity. But most of us have to build a business slowly and steadily over time. And we have to see that there's delivering value. It's not an easy thing. And also what the business is that you think you're starting off with is going to change with time. So you need to be very receptive to what your clients are telling you, to know how to change your business, how to retarget it, so that you actually are delivering the value that people want out of it.
Absolutely, and that's what Martin says is you need to make sure that your product or service is actually what people want and need.
Exactly. And then at the end of the day, I think attitude is everything. So yes, attitude from a confidence point of view, that's really important, because if you don't believe in yourself, how on earth can you expect a client to believe in you? So that's one thing. And then to realize that the idea for the business is like 5% of the business. The other 95% is slog, hard work. It's the implementation. It's the delivery. It's staying ahead of the competition. And it's working very, very hard. And I think what we need to recognize is that you yourself are probably going to be the hardest boss you've ever had, and he's going to drive you relentlessly if you want to succeed. So it's not, you know, 16-hour days is not uncommon. It's going to be a common thing if you're running your own business. And many small businesses fail because people think, oh, I'm now my boss. you know, I can choose what I want to do. But actually your client is your boss, and if you're not delivering value, you're going out of business.
Jake, before we wrap this up, because we are heading to 9, Kim says, did you get that book list from Jake last week or 2 weeks ago? You were going to post it. I did not, and I forgot cleanly about it. So, Jake, I'm going to ask you.
So, Kim, I haven't forgotten about it. I've been compiling it.
Oh, there we go. You see, Kim, I had forgotten. Jake had it. That's a good thing. At least one of us remembered.